You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Look at us. We're doing a radio show here at 10:30 The Voice.
Look at that.
Local news and talk. Ed Alexander, good morning,
sir. Morning, Christy Simone.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm ready. Ready?
Ed is wearing a radiant mint green?
I don't know. What is that?
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty bright and pretty light.
Maybe mint's too...
Very summery.
It's too bright for mint?
Mint would be darker green, right? A dark mint leaf. This is...
I'm going to take a picture of Ed's shirt and put it on Facebook. Everyone's got a freaking opinion on Facebook.
Right?
I don't think it's really a mint green, Chris.
I don't know.
More of a cauliflower green leaf green.
Ew,
or something.
I don't like cauliflower.
It's more of a... It looks like a beautiful Italian Brussels sprout.
Okay. I ain't going there either, but that's okay. Good morning. And you've got your red tea on, ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Blood red.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah. Why not?
790-2040 is the phone number. I do have a homework assignment. I need help from you guys today.
Okay.
I have a lunch appointment today at noon. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be central part of town. So let's say between 22nd and River... And let's call it Swan and the Interstate.
Swan and the Interstate, okay.
I need a place that has a good restaurant you know that I would like. That's a kicker, right? You've listened to me enough. I need a restaurant. Manic Hispanic, good morning, sir.
Morning.
There he is.
Morning.
You can hear him just, that voice just projects.
Wake up!
Like a beautiful singing voice at the Carnegie Hall. It's the Manic Hispanic.
Tell him, get your butt up. Tell him.
Get your butt up.
Yeah. Manny, tell him. What do you tell him?
Get your butt up.
Let's go. Come on.
We got to record that and sound drop that thing.
We didn't do that.
Now, what I was going to say, I got a lunch date. Center part of Tucson. I need an open dining room.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So give me a call. Or hit me at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. I need a place between Swan and the Interstate. I'm going to Divine Bovine tomorrow or Monday, so I'm not going there, even though it's not in that thing. So between Swan and the Interstate, River and 22nd, I need an open dining room.
Okay.
For lunch.
For you. Okay.
It's not as easy as you think. Like I told you, Mrs. D and I were trying to figure it out on Memorial Day. I called up a place that I really like, and they're like, we're not doing that yet, sir. You know, and they were like on Speedway and Swanish.
Mm.
You're like, So yesterday, I know it was tough to follow my professor from Washington University in St. Louis. So to make life better for everybody, because they liked a lot of the things that she said.
Right. It's hard to follow.
She's on the show tomorrow.
What? Cool.
So we're going to do...
Nice.
Me cool. And Dr. McCluskey will be here third hour, and we're going to go through that presentation. She's told my wife she's got a couple updates, too, for us. So she will be on the Dr. Anne-Marie Knott, Professor Anne. I don't see if she's a doctor or not. No, she's not a doctor. She has her master's in... I mean, she does have her master's, a PhD. Anyway, maybe she's just one of those nerds that doesn't like to say doctor all the time. Anyway, Anne-Marie Knott, professor from the Washington University in St. Louis... will be on the show in the third hour tomorrow. Today we got the sports intern, we have Congressman Schweikert, and then there's a local business called, I love the name of this, Foodie Magoo, and this is something that I think Wendy was telling me.
Really?
Is he's trying to do the local business that is trying to compete with the DoorDashes and the Grubhubs.
Okay.
And doing it in a way that's better. Because a lot of the restaurateurs do not like working with the Grubhub folks.
They don't know where their food's going after it leaves.
Like Rocco does not do any of that. Rocco is now doing his own delivery because he cannot stand working with Grubhub.
Right.
He doesn't like the way they interact with their people. They don't get the food on time. And then by the time it gets to you and it's been sitting around doing nothing for an hour,
right.
Some bro gets on some Google review thing and says, oh, yeah, this pasta I got is an hour old. It sucks.
Right.
Well, it's not really Rocco's fault.
No, exactly.
So he's trying to do something, trying to compete with them and do it in a better way. And also, instead of the part of the Grubhub money going to wherever the hell Grubhub is, it's all local. So we'll talk about that.
Neato.
In the third hour with, I forgot his first name. We'll get to his name. The name of the company is called Foodie Magoo. Let's
You're
go.
Funny.
Let's go to the phone.
He left. He went to, he left.
Is that Arted?
Arted.
What's his problem?
Well, I don't know. I said, I'll put you on. And then I think
Gloria pulled the phone away from him. That's what I think. She wanted to talk.
So.
Did he have a suggestion?
Yeah. He said they went to Trident yesterday and had a wonderful time. Now, I'm telling you, that's my new go-to place, the one on Speedway and by the U.
You're
Speedway
talking about
and Campbell. Trident
Campbell
Grill.
And 6th.
No.
The original.
The original one.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good food. It's a great atmosphere.
Okay.
Now, the one I told Ted, I love the one on Swan. When you're out in the patio in the summertime and stuff like that, it's great. The inside is like, blah. Okay, the one on Swan.
Right.
And the one out on, what is it called, Columbus or Craycroft out there, I haven't been to. But the one on Speedway and Campbell is just perfect. It really is, and it's good food. So that's an idea. And, you know, they've
got, So remember, I need a place for a lunch meeting today that has a dining room that's open. Now, I could do a patio, but it's going to be a little hotsy-totsy today.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
For a lunchtime.
Yeah, nah.
Now, Tucson, I put it on my Facebook page, Christopher DeSimone. Tucson Foodie actually listed 15, 18 places that have their patios are open for dinner at night. So cool. If you need because that's the thing. Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out is.
Yeah, for this weekend, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So a friend of my daughter's has her sister coming from town. She graduated college. This young lady graduated high school. So they wanted to find a night place for them all to eat. And I'm like, this just be easier. You know, I'm like, like I saw like Hacienda del Sol, which would be a great patio to sit on. They were doing some their blues and barbecue thing. I don't know, that was this past weekend, but they were doing a takeout only. Like, you're going to go to the barbecue festival. And I love Bruce's food, right? Bruce Williams, amazing. It was like, here's some brisket, a blah, 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 and a bottle of wine, go home. It just didn't feel the same.
Yeah.
Just didn't feel the same. All right. So what we're going to do.
What are you going to do?
Oh.
What are you going to do?
What do you got? What are you in the mood for music? Anything in your brain music-wise?
No, it's just this first song came in my head, but that's all. But go ahead.
I think I want to go all females today.
Now he wants to go all females.
We're going all females today.
Now he wants to go all females.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So we're going to talk about the reporting of the money getting distributed through the state to different municipalities and how the poor reporting on that is. We're going to talk about TUSD. We're going to talk about the reopening of schools. And I'm going to keep reminding you how stupid it is in relation to you're going to do all of these masks and things like this for kids who are 12. And how stupid all that is. Okay? So we're going to have the TUSD discussing the cost of reopening. I'm going to tell you what they think they need to reopen. Then there's some moments in Tucson history where we're dumb. We're just
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
We're going to get to that because Al called yesterday and said, would you please play that? Would you please play I'm Dumb? And I didn't. So today we get to play Yes, So Dumb.
So a guy that I really haven't had on the show because I find no use for him is Dustin Williams. Dusty Williams, I call him, the superintendent of education. You know, whatever he does. Okay. So I got to tell you. He goes to a charter school that shows you some of the thing, something they're going to do to protect the kiddies. This might be they're saying this might be a model for future schools opening for Corona. Okay. Betsy said she had dinner Friday at Hacienda del Sol Guest Ranch.
Oh,
well, that's
wow.
Good.
There you
well,
go.
That's better.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that they were just doing the takeout barbecue instead of doing the festival.
And that was for the festival.
And here's a, and we burned some Screamin' Jay Hawkins on a blank CD from Radio Shack for you.
Yeah, and call it a blues fest. Yeah. Well, you know, it's the new normal.
Not. When I tell you this story, and this is a Val Cavazos on KGUN9, hey, of what these people are doing, what this Dusty Williams was showing, it's so stupid. We're so stupid. And then what will happen is after Election Day, no one will care about any of this stuff. That's the best stuff. We'll talk about Trump with the social media stuff, with Twitter and all that jazz. I'm going to tell you when Disney World and SeaWorld in Florida are going to reopen.
As soon as they can make money.
Correct.
Thank you.
All right. We're going, well, we know another Joe Biden gaffe. I mean, it's getting even
no
better.
No way, really? I missed it. Yeah. I was sleeping and he had another one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Let's see. We might, well, actually with the intern, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk the weird Bobby Hurley ASU story.
Yeah.
And
tell me about that.
And then you, Sean Miller scores a Lithuanian twins to be playing basketball for.
Oh, my gosh.
There is a...
Curling. Can we do curling?
There is an op-ed in the Arizona Republic that I thought was a beautiful liberal encapsulation of everything they're going to try to hit everyone with in relation to you're a bunch of murdering bastards for not staying in your houses.
Yes. You don't know nothing. We know more than you do. Listen to us.
Here's the headline. COVID-19's killed 100,000 people, but that means nothing to many Americans.
Okay. When you find a positive story in the news, let me know. Sorry.
Then Time Magazine has a story of what percentage of COVID-19 infections are asymptomatic. That means you don't even know you have it.
Right.
So we'll talk about that. It actually plays into our discussion with Professor Knott also. So I'm sure Dylan and Tim Stellar won't believe it. So, Doug,
I don't really care.
Absolutely. And then I have a great memory from Joe Higgins. It's a picture. We'll talk about it. It's the day. This is from 5 years ago. Joe goes to City of Tucson Weed Court. And he has a picture of the things you're not allowed to bring in the Tucson City Court.
And yes.
It's amazeballs is also. That's my official phrasing on that. Then I'm going to give you my review of the spaceman, Mark Kelly, on Zach's show.
Mm.
I caught the last 11 to 12 minutes of it. I was in a meeting here at the station, and then I jumped in my car and did it. I'm just going to tell you, man. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to keep my powder dry.
Please. So, yes.
All right, Ed, spin us away. We're going to do it. We're doing all females today. That's my new thing. So
after this. Yoko's on this, so that'll help.
Oh, it's the opening for Saturday Night Live?
It's John Lennon.
No, I'm just kidding.
It sounds just like it. It's a band.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Good morning. It's all female Thursday.
Well, actually, the patio at Hacienda del Sol is what Betsy sent me a picture. It looks like that's opening.
That works because it's kind of enclosed anyhow. And
the other thing about Anne-Marie not coming on the professor tomorrow,
yes,
it says in her curriculum vitae of her biography that she actually worked at Hughes Aircraft.
Wow.
So we don't know if it was in Tucson. Maybe it was in Tucson. We'll find out.
Neat.
And then...
That's very cool. She's over in California? Is that where she at?
She's St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
She went to school in... whatchamacallit? In... UCLA. She has her master's in PhD.
Cali. I knew it was Cali's side. Okay.
Correct. So let's go back to this Higgins thing real quick. This is a memory on Facebook 5 years ago. So Higdog had a rental over in the Grant and Dodge area, and the person who was the tenant, whatever, let it go to hell. And so it was he got the fine from the City of Tucson on for the weeds. And it was some ridiculous number. And I remember we had fun calling up the weed control people on the air. I think we even called up and it's like, yes, we're so interested in you. And, you know, the weed control office to do anything was open between 10 and 10:45 in the morning.
Didn't open until 10 o'clock. Sorry. It's a government job.
So this is the part that killed us. This is a great memory from 5 years ago. So it has, you know, the classic, you know, the kind of the, you know, the board that's like the black billboard and you have the white letters that you
can kind of, I like those.
I forgot what you call those things, but you can change the letters out You know what I'm talking
about. Oh, okay. Oh, where you actually manually change the letters. Yes, those really ugly ones. Yeah.
Right.
Old
this,
school.
This is how advanced we are at the city of Tucson. We're still using the sign that Lou Murphy bought in 1982.
With a faded out black background. You can see it says welcome in a shadow.
So here's the thing. You're going to love this. It says, no weapons allowed.
Thank you.
Here's the things you're not allowed to bring into Tucson City Court. And I'm sure, hopefully they've updated it since then. Ready? Here we go. And of course, when I put it up, originally I said, what the hell's going on down at City Court, right? Who is bringing this stuff to City Court? Here we go. You cannot bring glass, right? So people were bringing what, glass bottles and breaking them like a bar fight or something like that? Tools. You cannot bring a blackjack.
Oh, really?
To City Court.
Leave it in your car.
Okay. Yeah. Think about this. This stuff, this has to have, that someone had to bring one of these things at least once, right? That's how you expand the list, right? It's not like the Tucson City Court guy said, oh, you know, I watched this movie. We should add this. It's because some weirdo in Tucson brought this to City Court, okay? So now we got no blackjacks, no box cutters. Here's a great one. You're not allowed to bring a club.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of club? Is it
any big club? Any big club to hit somebody over the head with? You can't bring that
into
the
city.
I'm
thinking
those
big wood ones like the caveman one. Right? Now, here's a great one. This is City Court. You're not allowed to bring lock picks, for God's sakes. Well, why not? Now, who's bringing what did they do with the lock picks? That's what I want to know. You can't bring a mace to spray anybody. You can't bring scissors to City Court. Okay, which is amazing. No ammunition. Ed, for some reason, I know you're putting Larson on the line. They don't want you to bring lock picks to City Court.
Don't know. What? Why? So you can't get in the bathroom without paying?
You cannot have a chain longer than 18 inches. Right, so I guess maybe some of these geniuses have the chain that their wallet's attached to. I guess
right,
you could bring
yeah,
that.
I got that. Yeah,
but was someone bringing in a length of like real chain?
Yeah,
and
like
to
really
beat the hell out?
Really heavy chain? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not allowed. You're gonna love this. This is on the city sign. Okay. You're not allowed to bring a baseball bat
into the city.
So some idiot coming to court,
killing me,
brought his old Louisville slugger so he can beat the hell out of somebody at City Court. Okay, you can't bring bolts, BOLTS. So what are people getting like the big six inch bolt at Home Depot and shivving somebody? I'm just telling you, you can't bring brass knuckles anymore, Ed. According to this, to City Court, no brass knuckles. No, check this out. Daggers, daggers, like something from Game of Thrones or
yes.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes. Really
don't bring your dagger.
Thing. Yeah.
Don't bring your letter opener. Don't bring any knife blades. Don't bring any razors. And this is my favorite one: steaks.
A steak, yes.
Not a sausage shop steak
no.
Ken. STAKES.
A tent steak. I don't know.
I was thinking of the things you kill vampires with. You can't bring those to City Court.
Yeah. That's somebody's job to make this list and keep it current.
Wake up to sweet dreams are made of this, Annie. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Ryan Larson Sports coming up.
I remember when I could do this whole dance routine by heart for Rhythm Nation.
You were something, man. You got all the girls.
790-2040 is the phone number. WakeUpTucson@gmail.com. Hold on. Let's get to it. Before we get to Ryan Larson, we got to talk some sports here. Let's see what we got here. $1,200 fine. I guess if you bring any of that stuff in, that's from Lori.
Okay.
So, what else do we got here? Well, let's go to Pat. Let's go to Pat on line 3 first. 790-2040. Pat, welcome to Wake Up Tucson. Good morning, ma'am.
Hi. Good morning.
Hello.
You know, there's some real drawbacks about that wordy sign up there in the lobby over the
city court.
Courthouse.
Yep.
They got to remember that those are some pretty big words, and they're probably going to be expecting the graduates of the school system here to read them. And that's going to be a real problem, don't you think?
So what you're saying is they should have a video screen that uses pictures, right? Like a picture of brass knuckles. Don't bring in this. It's like Sesame Street.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's that other problem. Some people are so dumb they don't even know some of that stuff. And then they go home and they say, oh, that's how you make brass knuckles. Oh, that's what brass knuckles are. I'll make them.
Nice.
Really watch it. Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call, Pat. I appreciate it as always. Have a great morning. The $1,200 fine is for weeds. That's what it was. The weed fine's $1,200. That's the best part. City of Tucson has a $1,200 fine for weeds, and the place still looks like hell.
Yeah. hell.
Let's go to the sports intern, Ryan Larson. Ryan, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Not too bad. Let's start off. This is a U of A town. Let's start off with ASU sports. Tell me about Bobby Hurley's complaint about the AD and sexual harassment of three different females, including his wife.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah. So Bobby Hurley basically has beef with the athletic director of ASU. His name is Ray Anderson. And it's not because of sexual assault by the AD. It's because of a booster that ASU has who has attended basketball games for years who got accused of sexual harassment and sexual assault in December. This booster's name is Bart Ware, and he was accused of sexually assaulting three different women at ASU basketball games, and apparently there have been other complaints lodged against him in the past for being a little too grabby, a little making inappropriate comments, stuff like that, and so ASU terminated his season tickets in December.
All right, hold on for 2 seconds. Ed, get your rim shot ready. I got a bad joke coming up here again. Explain again what was this guy doing again at the he was a little too grabby, is that what you said?
He is too grabby, he's making inappropriate comments.
Well, you know, maybe the Democrats should run this guy for president. little Joe Biden. Sorry. Keep going.
Somewhere
Ryan.
Joe Biden's hurting right now.
I'm sorry.
And so ASU terminated his season tickets a couple days later, but in findings done by an independent investigation by a law firm, they saw that this was a repeated pattern and ASU was slow to act. And the reason Bobby Hurley is mad at the AD is because his wife was one of the people that were sexually harassed, sexually assaulted, and the AD basically didn't take any action against this. So now there's conflict between Hurley and Anderson in this case. And there's also a former assistant athletic director at ASU who is going to file suit against the school because he claims he was fired for bringing up these allegations against Ware to the main athletic director, Anderson. And so there's just big mess at Arizona State going on right now with the basketball program. And this is bad for the school, one, because sexual assault is bad, obviously, and it is unfortunate when these situations happen, especially among people who are supposed to be supporters of the school, but also because Bobby Hurley is really the first successful basketball coach ASU has had in a decade, if not longer, and so this could create long-term problems for the program in terms of how it's viewed nationally and problems with Hurley going forward, because he's done a great job at ASU as a coach, and it could be this is going to force him out or to start looking for potential other options because of this.
Interesting. I mean, I don't see how, you know, with Bobby Hurley coming out against you as the AD, and if you're the crow man over there, how do you choose this guy over Bobby Hurley at this point, over this situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got sexual harassment, who are you going to stand behind?
Right, and now they're doing a PR job. Hurley said in a statement on Wednesday that his relationship with Anderson is strong and that he's excited to keep working with ASU, but
yeah,
clearly this is going to be a problem going forward. This isn't a great look for ASU, and it's not going to do well for Hurley.
When you told me that he did that, the press release about how that statement of their relationship is strong, this feels like the NFL owner with the vote of confidence.
Oh, exactly.
So then let's switch to our own not so excited Sean Miller. He got two Lithuanian twins he recruited.
Yeah, he recruited two Lithuanian twins. Yesterday they committed to U of A. And what Sean Miller is doing this year is he is going for international basketball recruits. Arizona has signed five players who are listed as international recruits. The twins' names, by the way, I'm going to butcher this. I'm so sorry. It's Azulis Tubailis is their last name. And so one of them is the top rated recruits coming out of Lithuania, and then his twin brother is coming along as well. And it's looking good for U of A this coming year. Arizona is losing 85% of their scoring from this past season for a season that was okay, if not kind of underwhelming again for U of A. And so Miller, once again, is required to add as many high-level recruits, freshmen, as he can, even if it runs the potential of getting more one-and-dones coming his way. And so this is good for U of A, the potential for these international players to come to the States, to make a home there, and hopefully stay longer at U of A will be good. And now Arizona has a top-10 recruiting class after getting the Tubailis twins. And so Arizona's looking good, best recruiting class in the conference once again, as usual, and one of the top 10 recruiting classes in the country. It's just a matter of what Miller can do with this talent and if some of these guys can actually live up to their billing, because Arizona's good at getting talent. They really are. They have a great fan base. It's just between guys leaving so quickly after a single year and then Miller failing to really maximize the talent that he's working with, it's just what's led to a few underwhelming seasons. But these Tubailis twins could be really good for U of A. And especially the older brother, the better one, Azulis Tubailis, could be a huge get for them going forward.
So here's a question for you. Is one of the advantages of these highly talented Euro players, do they stay an extra year or two as opposed to the American top prospect?
It depends on the player, honestly, because a lot of these Euro players tend to play in Europe and get paid for a year before they jump to the NBA or play for a couple of years, such as the Spanish leagues or in Italy or something. But when they come to the States, then you get a good chance. It's better for NBA teams to evaluate them, to see them against college talent, helps out the NBA teams while they're doing draft prep. And so there's a chance that they can stay longer if they really like what Sean Miller is doing in Tucson. But if Azulis Tubailis has a chance to go in the top 10, he's probably going to leave no matter what, because that's a lot of money you're leaving on the table to stay an extra year as an unpaid basketball player. And so it remains to be seen. We'll see what Sean Miller can do with them. But I think he's got a good chance to have a recruiting class this season that sticks around longer than 1 year, so that he's not replacing 85% of production next season.
So tell me about a lot of my NHL heads were very happy that the Count from Sesame Street, Gary Bettman was having a, sorry, did I just say that? Gary Bettman was doing some sort of press conference on how they're going to finish this year. Was there actually an announcement, or they're still kicking the tires on how to do this?
So they're still kicking the tires on how to do this. They've announced plans on how they want to complete the season. And basically what they want to do is have 24 teams return to their training facilities for a short time, kind of as a preseason, get players back into shape. And then they want to have a conference-based postseason. So the East and the West would be playing at two different hubs in North America, basically, two major cities where they can play the entire NHL postseason. And they'll basically do it as a longer tournament than the normal NHL postseason, because they would have 24 teams instead of the usual 16. And then they would all just be played in these two locations. And the NBA is considering something similar. It's basically, you can equate it to what soccer does for tournaments in different leagues, as you have group stages and playing games and everything. And the NHL wants to do this, and so does the NBA, because it would draw in more ratings. It would increase the number of playoff games that they get to televise. And as we know, it's a very sports starved time. I think a lot more people would be excited to watch the NHL than normal in the United States. But for now, it's still a work in progress. Some of the players were not thrilled about it, but they want to return to play. They're hoping that they can get this going, hopefully in July. August at the latest, and that they would be able to finish the NHL season. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. But it looks like the NHL is on one of the best paths towards returning and for sure getting an end to their season.
So Ed is so sports starved, right, mm-hmm. that every Memorial Day,
yes.
he watches the Goodies Headache Power 1700 or something.
Right.
And he was so sports starved that instead of watching only two laps and then drinking beer the rest of the time outside, he watched four laps.
And rain. So, and rain.
Look at you.
Hey, it's American tradition. I'm sorry.
Let's go to the phone, 790-2040. Let's go with Scott. Scott, you're on with the sports intern, Ryan Larson. What's up, sir?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Right around the time Book Richardson was all cleared, I guess, well, maybe not all completely cleared, but the U of A and the NCAA announced an investigation into Sean Miller. And, of course, with the Star, the U of A, and the NCAA, the local Tucson people are never going to hear anything about it. Whatever happened with that?
Mr. Larson.
All right. So with that, it's still in the process of investigation. So the NCAA, while Book Richardson was being investigated and everything, announced that they gave a notice of allegations to Arizona, but they weren't going to start the investigation until after all the trials had played out. And now that those are done, they're going to investigate Arizona. And that can be a long process. You can be looking at a year, if not longer, depending on how slow the NCAA goes. And with everything going on with the virus right now, the NCAA has bigger concerns. And so this could be a while before we really find out anything. We know that this whole recruiting scandal started years ago, and there have only been a couple of schools that have even gotten notice of allegations or even completed their investigations. So it could be a while for Arizona, and there won't be a lot of updates until the NCAA finally releases all of their findings, whenever that will be.
Ed Alexander raised his hand. Ed, what do you got for us?
Scott, just six. So I've been watching sports for a long time, and it's a lot of you guys out there. The NCAA has no huevos. The NCAA doesn't have to do anything unless they absolutely have to, because all they want to do is collect money from athletes. The NCAA is useless, okay? All they do is they take the money. They're just whining in the corner because they didn't have their basketball tournament. I mean, they're not going to do anything if they have to. The FBI had to come in and do the investigation that everybody knew was going on in basketball, and the NCAA still hasn't done anything. And they will eventually, probably after Miller leaves, another 5 years. But come on, let's face it. They are useless,
Scott,
for student-athletes.
Scott, what were you going to say, sir?
Well, I was just going to say, as long as they're still going and they're not sweeping it under the rug like I would expect the U of A to do, then that's all I can expect.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks for the call, man. Have a great day.
All right, you too. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. 790-2040 on 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. Ryan, I saw that the baseball players want to play more games, but of course get paid more money. We're still this July 4th looking shaky for baseball?
It's not looking super promising. The MLB owners delivered their proposal to the players this past week. And basically what they suggested is that the more a player gets paid, the greater percentage of a pay cut he would take, so that the minimum salary players, the guys who have been in the league months, if not a year, will still get a majority of their salary, close to 90%. But then for the players making, say, $37.5 million, like Mike Trout, they would take a pay cut of close to 85%. And so the MLB as a whole, the players did not like that. Because
that's a lot more than I thought it would be.
Yeah, they suggested, so like Mike Trout is the highest paid player this season. He's going to get $37.5 million. He would make maybe $8 million if the Angels went to the World Series. And so that is a huge pay cut. And for the most part with the players, they don't resent the guys who are making $37 million, partly because right now the MLB doesn't have a salary cap, and partly because they want to get paid that someday as well. And so as a whole, the players want to avoid cutting the pay of the highest paid and best players. And it's also concerning for the MLB because now if they say, well, we're trying to make a deal, but the richest athletes don't want to take a pay cut, they're basically making the faces of the sport the bad guys. And that's not going to work well with fans, and that's going to be bad for the PR long-term of the league. Now, the Players Association is expected to make a counter-proposal this week, but right now these two sides are very far apart. And for both of them, they're going to feel like compromise is a weakness, and that's going to create problems going forward. And so July 4th is looking a little shaky. We could be going into a serious labor dispute because the players are not happy about this, and the owners do not want to budge.
I was reading an article out of England about my Premier League soccer, and they were talking about, of course, the reason they got to finish this season is about the money, right? Because they already got all their money from the TV contracts, right? And they said they have 92 matches to finish in Premier League, total matches. And the amount of money they're on the hook for if somehow they didn't finish the season was like a bill with a B that they'd have to kick back in in-kind or refunds to the television channels.
So, yeah, exactly. Like, the Premier League doesn't need to finish their season to find out who the champion is. Liverpool wrapped that up like 6 months ago or whatever. It's been ages. But these leagues are losing television money, and that's the biggest problem. And they have insurance generally, but that insurance is not going to cover that full billion. It'll probably be closer in the range of 250, 300 million, because that's what the NCAA was getting from insurance when they canceled the NCAA tournament, which is also worth about $1 billion in revenue.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Ryan, great job as always, sir. Have an amazing day.
You too, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Ryan Larson, best damn unpaid sports intern in America.
Great guy. Living in the Rockies. Look at him up there. Well,
David Schweiker coming up at the top of the hour. We got lots of stuff to cover today. You're on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Ah, here she is.
Chalet.
Look at him. So you gotta ask Patty
here, baby.
You gotta do an overnight on the groove where you're just doing this kind of like almost like a like a Venus flytrap kind of show.
Yeah.
You with Big Ed.
Then I fly. Baby fly.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, Congressman Schweikert. We got a local business called Foodie Magoo on the third hour where they're trying to take on the Grubhubbers of the world. And trying to do it better and do it in a more local manner. So that'll be going down in the 8 o'clock hour. Tomorrow, Divine Bovine's going to be on because today's International Burger Day. And but also, it's Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform. And then Deb McEwen running for State House and LD2. And then McCluskey. And then Professor Knott from University of Washington, St. Louis, who did that great but very academic presentation about why you're not going to die from COVID. So, and of course, the answer from anyone anywhere near the self-righteous circle of the U of A is 100,000's dead, bro. That's all. I had a guy say that. And when you ask him, tell me more, they don't tell you anything else. That's just the battle cry. And that it's Trump's fault. That's going to be the thing. Trump's fault, 100,000 dead. That's what all you're going to hear out of those folks. It's all poison that. It's also two great days today. It's International Hamburger Day, and it's National Brisket Day.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. A couple of things. Fogarty's birthday today.
Mm-hmm. Credence, J.C.
And today, actually, Credence released their debut album also today in 1968.
Changed my world.
You are correct.
It
features an 8-minute version of the Dale Hawkins song Susie Q.
Susie Q.
Which became the band's only top 40 hit not written by Fogarty.
Mm.
Yes. Mm. Percy Sledge started a 2-week run with When a Man Loves a Woman. And then an interesting one, 1966, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass goes number one with the album called What Now My Love.
Okay.
Setting a new American record because they had 4 albums at the time in the top 10.
Amazing.
So the other 3 were
Herb
South of the Border,
good.
Going Places, and of course the infamous or famous Whipped Cream and Other Delights. So I didn't know that he had 4 albums in the top 10 at the same time.
Just play that little horn, man.
It was a different world in those days at Alexander. So what we're going to do when we come back, we got Schweikert. We're going to talk about Dustin Williams touring a charter school with their anti-COVID stuff. And it's Tucson's and America losing its freaking mind.
Of course.
Losing their freaking mind. And then I'll give you my reaction of Mark Kelly with Zach Yenser yesterday. Martha should feel just a little better. I'll just tell you that. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.